You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
We're not gonna pass you again.
Elijah!
Yes, sir.
Let's go, man!
Yes, sir.
Dude, I'm telling you, we've been excited about this. I thought we lost you when we moved up, and I'm excited to get you here. We're excited to get you here. We got a heck of a foundation growing, man. It's going to be fun. Feel me?
Yes, sir. I can't wait.
All gas, brother. Let's roll, man. Hey, I'm...
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at Will Pot 11 on Twitter and Instagram, Turn the Jets on Facebook. Joined by special guest Lindsay OK at Lindsay OK on Twitter and Instagram. How's everything going today, Lindsay?
Good. I'm getting like a late start today. So I usually try and get up and get going on Mondays, but I don't know. Something about
it's
today.
I'm just hey, not- I had a Monday scares this morning too. So
yeah.
don't stress on that. Wanted to kind of get right into it. Obviously, we're a couple days, past the draft, and we're kind of in that exciting time period now where people start to try to project the regular season. We have the schedule dropped in a day or two. And what's been your reaction for the Jets offseason as a whole? Obviously, the hiring of Robert Saleh, and then a couple of big free agency signings, new quarterback, everything like that. What's been the overall vibe you've gotten kind of from the offseason as a whole?
I've really been loving what they're doing so far. I love the head coaching pick. That was my favorite, I guess, head coaching prospect this offseason. I just feel like his football mind is so complex, and that's like exactly what the Jets needed after Adam Gase. I mean, last season was a complete nightmare. Holding on to him for that long was just, I mean, by week three, we all knew it was over, and they just like kept stringing him along. And I mean, they never... The thing with Sam Darnold is I understand why they traded him and everything, but they also never gave him a chance. And that being, I mean, they obviously drafted him because they wanted him, but they never really built around him. I don't feel like him and Adam Gase vibed at all. And I feel like now it's really kind of turning the corner, and I like that they've already started to build around their quarterback. And I know like Zach Wilson said yesterday that his job has to be earned, but it's obviously going to be his. And he's obviously going to be thrown to the wolves a little bit coming out of college. It's definitely different, but they've given him all the pieces to work with early. And I think that's really important, especially for a young quarterback's confidence.
So you don't think James Morgan or Mike Waite are NFL ready yet? I've been impressed with Saleh. Like everything he said has been what you'd want to hear of a head coach, and just, I feel like people are actually excited to play for the Jets. At least that's what obviously it's through tweets and, short clips, but people are excited to go play for him. And it just, there's an adult in the room. I always say that, like, I just don't feel like Adam Gase was like the guy everyone was like getting a bunch of grown men making millions of dollars. He wasn't exactly getting them ready to play on Sundays. But what are your impressions of Wilson so far? I know you had a tweet. You're like, oh, he's really the king of the quote game and stuff like that. Obviously a little bit bigger personality than Sam in a different way. And I think that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you play, obviously. But what have your impressions been like him as a player? And did you think that was a good fit for the Jets? Obviously, they had some other options at two, like a Justin Fields and stuff like that.
Yeah, as for the Jets, like they needed somebody to start right now. And aside from Trevor Lawrence, I think he's the next guy in line that's ready to do that. Behind him, I would have seen Justin Fields in that position. But I like the kid. I think he might get a little bit of a culture shock coming from Utah to New York City. Or New Jersey, if you want to, be technical. But I want to see how he transitions. It might be a little rough just because we're not really sure what the offseason is going to be like. you know, showing up with a good mindset at rookie minicamps, the first step, and he absolutely did that. A lot of what I've heard from young quarterbacks is that the media part is the hardest, because you already know how to play football, but you sometimes guys don't really know how to talk to the media, and he already did that. I mean, he, you know, obviously it's kind of different because it's not after a game and he hasn't lost yet, and that's kind of the true test, but I like his mindset. I like his vibe. I like the fact that the coach is actually serious about him and wants to build around him and make him better. So.
Yeah, no, it's it was one of the funnier, I guess. It's sad. I mean, obviously everyone knows I love Sam and whatever, and I'm all full on the Zach Wilson train. I kind of have to be. But Sam's like last, your first press conference at Carolina, he was like, my advice would be like, don't listen to the media. And he was like, I'm just kidding. And everyone was like, you're not kidding. Like they crushed you and it got in your head.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we see that happen a lot. I mean, Carson Wentz, same thing.
He's lucky he's in an even smaller, you know, environment, I guess, for both of their sakes, because they both went through the ringer a little bit. But was there one guy or one other move outside of the quarterback that kind of struck you this offseason that you think could have a big impact? Guys that come to my mind are Elijah Moore and in the draft, and then a Carl Lawson in free agency. But is there anybody else, or are those the two guys for you that kind of stand out the most of some of the additions they've made on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I definitely like the Elijah Moore pick for the Jets. I feel like that gives, I mean, you still have some guys that are still, I mean, left over from last year, but that kind of gives him somebody to work with coming in day one, who's in kind of in the same boat that he is, you know, and they have a opportunity to grow together. And I think that's important.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm interested to see how the team kind of goes as a whole. Obviously, I think the schedule's easier this year. I think you get the new coach boost a little bit. You know, the whole roster kind of overchanged. I don't know what the expectations are. What would you say, like, obviously you don't have to give a win total, because I feel like that's going to put, say something that's going to, no matter what win total I say, it's not going to happen. So where would be like a range with, you would think, okay, I've seen progress now going into 2022, they should be a playoff team. Is it 5 wins? I've seen some people say they should win 9 or 10 games because that's just the way that thing it should work. And other people are like, if they win 4, it's a good year. Like, where do you kind of fall?
Yeah, I kind of fall in the middle. I can see them. I want to start maybe at like a 500 team. I know you can't have 500 this year, but like a 6-win team.
I'm not going to be used to 17 game schedule.
I still call the Rams the St. Louis Rams sometimes. So like, I mean, it's difficult, but I can see them being a 6 or 7 win team. I think obviously the hump there is you have to get past the Bills, which, I mean, I'm going to say right now, I don't think they can, but I don't think the Ravens can either. So, you know, and then you got the Patriots, who they completely revamped as well. So, and the Dolphins are coming up strong too. So, I mean, it's a tougher division. Whereas in the past, it used to be the Patriots were the top dog and everybody else is in the basement, and it's kind of different this year, but, I don't think there's a lot of pressure on them because of that. Again, I totally feel you when you said like a 4-win team's a good year. I mean, they just don't want to see, I feel like the line between being good and being bad is going to be, how does Zach Wilson look? Is he a complete bust or not? And that's going to kind of give you a sense of if this could be, you know, a team that is going up instead of going down.
Yeah, no, it's like, can they be at least exciting in October and November? I mean, I don't expect them to be in the playoffs, but it's difficult. And like, I have season tickets, and for me, every year I go, no matter what, obviously you talk yourself in every week, even if I'm trying to be objective for the sake of my own job. But like, it's like, you want to talk yourself into wins, and it's really been difficult to even find 2 or 3 wins a year on the schedule where you're like, I feel confident they could win this game. So as long as they can beat some of the bad, like really bad teams that like they were last year, like the Houstons and the Jacksonville's and things like that, I would feel much better about them going forward. And maybe you steal one from New England at home, or you steal one from Buffalo, kind of, you know, isn't prepared, and they come in and you beat them. Like, you got to feel good about those. And Wilson's the key, right? Like you even said, if Wilson's good or shows a ton of progress, now everything changes. Now it's like, oh, the Jets have a young quarterback that's actually shown some flashes. Their head coach looks good. Like, it's in the right direction, not, oh no, this is like, we're doing the exact same thing we've done with the last 5 rookie quarterbacks that just like have had probably more downs than ups to be kind about it.
Yeah. And I've been to that stadium in November, and like, you have to talk yourself into going to those games, like, even if you're a good team. So
yeah, it's become difficult. But I know you kind of mentioned a few teams there. I wanted to get your thoughts on who are a couple teams. It doesn't have to be, you know, AFCs related, but that really improved for you this offseason between draft and free agency. You're like, they took a step either from being bad to a playoff team or maybe a team that's like was close and took a huge step. And then maybe after that, you know, one or two teams, you're like, I wanted you to do a lot more and there's a lot left to be desired there.
One thing I think did really well was Carolina. I know your boy Sam's there now. But they not that I really expected them to take a quarterback, but I was kind of surprised that they kind of did the same thing the Jets did. They decided to build around him. So I really liked what they did. I really liked what the Chargers did. Obviously Justin Herbert's their guy. I think he's great. And I mean that this draft really cemented that for them. As far as on the downside, the Seahawks, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, obviously Russell Wilson came out earlier this offseason and said that he, you know, there was that whole rift about if he wants out or not. And a lot of it was because of the offensive line and they didn't really do that. So that's kind of a big question mark for me. I'm going to touch on the Ravens just a little bit. I didn't hate their draft, but I hate taking that wide receiver in the first round. I just have PTSD from Bashaud Perriman. I just cannot.
Oh, I have PTSD from Bashaud Perriman. I've watched him play football for a year. It was one of the most frustrating football players I've ever watched play football.
Oh my God. It was awful. And then like they lost so many pieces on offensive line and just didn't take an offensive tackle. And that's kind of bizarre to me. I'm not going to say they had a horrible draft because they didn't, but those are just really big questions for me.
I was going to say for them, I think people are, I understand the excitement around getting receivers because it feels like the passing game has been a huge issue, but I might be in the minority here and we don't have to go on a whole Ravens tangent, but I know Greg Roman's offense can seem really boring at times, but I think it's like, I understand it's made to make Lamar be able to do what he's the best at. And not that he can't throw, but it's meant for them to run the ball and be able to have him play with a lead. And I understand it's frustrating because he could do more. And I'm not saying that, like, but he's not going to be a guy that drops back 50 times. Like, it's just not, I don't think he wants to do that either. So I just, sometimes I get frustrated. It's like, the offense is so boring. It's like, because it's not meant to, it's not like, it's meant to be boring on purpose. It's not meant because, like, Lamar isn't good. Like, I just don't know how much better a receiver might be help, because I don't think Hollywood Brown's what everyone wants him to be. But is Lamar going to go now and, like, drop back 50 times a game and be Mahomes? Like, I think he's his own quarterback, which makes him amazing to watch. He's just a unique quarterback that we just don't see guys that can do both.
Right. And like the thing is like the first year when that offense was so explosive and they were winning, you know, all those games in a row, it's like, wow, this is what, you know, the Ravens have been needing. This is so exciting to watch. And then the next year when defenses kind of started to get the vibe and started to kind of figure them out a little bit, it didn't become so exciting anymore. And that's just what happens. I mean, defenses get paid too. And if you're playing Lamar Jackson and you're playing the Ravens and you hear everybody all season say nobody can stop Lamar, what's the first thing at the top of your list when you have the Ravens on your schedule? Find a way to stop Lamar. And defenses can do that now, and it's nothing against him, but
yeah, I mean, it's just like, that's the thing. It's like the Chiefs all of a sudden that in year two of Mahomes, it was like there's a target on your back, and obviously they've been uber successful, both teams have, but it becomes you're not like the underdog story anymore. All of a sudden everybody on the schedule is circling you, and that's what I guess makes the Brady's and Mannings and Rogers of the world, like they're circled on everyone's calendar every year. Yeah. And they usually produce every single time. But now the other teams that I thought you mentioned here that was interesting is I liked Carolina's draft as well. I thought whether people think Sam's going to be a good, like good player down there or is not, to me that's the only question mark was if you take Fields there. I can't blame them for not doing it because if they just gave up assets, but also if they would have done it, I guess I would have had to be like, well, if one of these guys should work, but the rest of their draft, I really liked. I like Terrence Marshall a lot. I thought Brady Christensen could walk in and probably start day one. JC Horn's impressive. I don't know. At eight, obviously there was like a little bit of a mini run on corner there before Dallas. So that was a little interesting. They kind of, Dallas still went on defense, but the draft was interesting as a whole. The quarterback wise, I feel like Justin Fields in Chicago, they got a kind of, I don't want to say it's a steal, but great value for Fields at 11 because it could have been gone two or three. Do you like Trey Lance in San Francisco? You think that's going to be a good fit? And then the Mac Jones thing in New England is, I think people are assuming he's going to be good. And the Patriots haven't drafted well in 10 years, so I'm not really sure why we're assuming that. Am I wrong to be kind of pessimistic on Jones and optimistic on Lance?
No, I don't think so at all. I fully expected the Niners to take Justin Fields there. I think, like I said before, I think he's the behind Trevor and behind Zach Wilson. I feel like he's the most NFL ready to start right now. But it also makes sense them taking him because they have said that they still want Jimmy Garoppolo to start. So, I mean, I didn't believe that for a while, and I guess I believe it now because I don't think Trey Lance is ready to be thrown onto a football field and start for an NFL team. I just don't think so. In the future, maybe, sure. But I love Justin Fields in Chicago. I think he's going to be great. I knew the second that they started touting out Andy Dalton as their starter, I was like, there's no way in hell that that's happening. So I fully expected them to either move something around, trade for Jimmy Garoppolo was another one of my theories. But Mac Jones, I don't really have that large of an opinion on him. I think he's good, not great. There's a reason he went in the top handful of quarterbacks, but I don't know. I feel like he's a total Josh McDaniels quarterback. I feel like that's a good fit there, but I'm not sure on the Belichick thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just because he wants to groom a young quarterback and groom him into who he wants him to be. Is it going to be Brady? Probably not. But I don't know. We all know Bill's I sound like he's going to die or something. That's not what I mean. I mean like a couple more years as a coach, not living on this planet. But yeah.
Yeah, no, the Mac Jones thing, the only reason that my frustration is that you just assume like kind of like a sloppy, like bodied white quarterback that like doesn't get picked first does not mean like, because it's just, like Tom Brady was a 6th round pick. Like, I don't think we're equating like a 1st round guy that played at Alabama and like was on the best offense probably we've ever seen in college football that in 2019 LSU. Just to be like, oh, look, Mac Jones has a beer belly. Like, he's going to be really good in New England. Like, kind of feels like it's just, like, a little lazy. Like, Mac Jones, I think, could be good in the right system. And New England just spent a bajillion dollars in free agency. So you'd hope that if he walks in. But you don't know what Cam's going to look like. I think Cam's probably closer to being a former NFL quarterback than he is being MVP 2015 Cam Newton. But also, he did have COVID. It was a new system. Like, I will give – like, I think that this is a valid – it is a valid excuse. But – also, he hasn't been like great the previous 3 years either in Carolina. So they're a weird team. I just like people have such differing takes on New England. Like the Jets kind of feels like everyone's between like there may be a fringe wild card team or there might be 5-12, but be right. Exciting or the Chargers should be really good. Like everyone kind of has pretty consistent takes, but New England feels like the one that's all over the map. It's they could win a Super Bowl. If Cam's good or Mac Jones is good, but other people are like, they're still a 6 or 7 win team. So I'm interested to see how that kind of goes. Cause if they're not good again, then it's like Brady's stock just keeps going up, which would be hard for me to watch. But obviously if people don't follow you or don't know you, you're a big Joe Flacco person. Can we get a little background on it? Because he was a Jet last year. He had the one big game kind of in New England. So how'd that kind of Joe Flacco fandom start? And like, where are we at now with Flacco? Is he better than Hurts?
Yes. I feel like he's going to go in there and just, I can't wait. Anyways, he obviously started in Baltimore and I'm, you know, a Baltimore fan. So he was like kind of the first football player that I like really liked, like as a person too. And he's just like, he's just like the most chill person ever. Like if he was walking down the street, you would not say that's an NFL quarterback. Yeah, he might be a little bit tall, but you know, he doesn't care. He's totally like the dad at his kid's soccer game with like 2 Miller Lights in the cooler and that's it. You know, like he's just such a, like a chill dude. And he's again, with the whole media thing, he's so skilled at talking to the media. He knows his words are going to get twisted every time he speaks. The mentor thing happens every single time he's on a new team. Are you going to mentor your quarterback? Like, it's tired. But anyways, I don't know. He's just like such like an all around dude, good personality. And he did a lot for Baltimore. And I feel like even now, I feel like he doesn't get appreciated here like he should.
Yeah, no, it's Flacco's interesting guy. I those, you know, I played at Towson and like when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. So I was there, the crazy fandom of like playoff Flacco and the whole nine yards. And I obviously was incredibly anti-Ravens as being a New Yorker that was going to school in Maryland. I was like, I have to be different. So I was kind of hating on the Ravens at the time. But looking back, it was obviously incredibly impressive. Some of the stuff he gave, they're obviously totally different. But from a Jets fan perspective, the way like Sanchez was just like such a like electric personality and was so good with the media and won all his road playoff games, obviously didn't get, you know, finish it off the way Flacco did. And I just think to me that that's kind of the Jets best comp to Flacco in like that sense, where was never probably the elite guy, you know, obviously all the jokes, but he was able to do it in the biggest moments. And I felt like for all Sanchez's faults in New York in terms of not developing properly, obviously they're different, but the biggest playoff games, he always showed up. Like he outplayed Tom Brady in an AFC like divisional round playoff game in New England. Flacco did the same thing. And it was like, people forget that stuff. Like Brady used to like, Brady only loses to quarterbacks he's like better than. Like I swear, Nick Foles and Sanchez and Flacco and all these guys. Like Eli, and then he plays Peyton. He's like the best player I've ever seen. He plays Rodgers and all, except for this year. Like he just unbelievable. Mahomes, it's crazy. It's the weirdest. Like it should be the other way around, not not the way it worked out.
Yeah.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
It's obviously pretty crazy, but obviously you kind of mentioned Flacco as one person. Who have been a couple of people that, you know, obviously your time covering the NFL that you've really enjoyed, either just like who they've been as a player or somebody that's been like just like so gracious and like within the media, it's like a person you just always, I want to see this person, whether they're talking to media, they're practicing, working, like they're just like you're attached to them kind of throughout their career.
So I started as an intern for Ed Reed, and he is like the coolest dude ever. Like him, like sitting down, when you see him like sitting down smoking cigars, like that's totally him. He doesn't put on a front whatsoever. He's totally like a take it or leave it kind of guy. He wasn't much for quotes. That was more like, I guess, Terrell Suggs kind of, who is not one of my favorite players. But I don't know. He was just like such a chill dude. I'm trying to think of who else.
Ed Reed made a little Jets appearance right at the end.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I kind of wish it didn't happen for everyone's sake, because I don't have to envision Ed Reed like not being good as a Jet. And I could just like imagine what he would have been. And then for Ravens fans, I'm sure it's not, it was not fun to watch him as a Texan and a Jet.
I mean, he totally did that to get a couple extra dollars. That's all. We all know that.
Yeah, no, it's the Jets, like for like 2 or 3 years, they had like, they went from Jason Taylor and LT, who actually contributed. So I won't give them slack, but like, then it was like the Tebow thing. It was like Ed Reed, Chris Johnson, Mike Vick, Burris. It was like, kind of felt, it was a little weird. It's like, cool, they got to play for the Jets, but in some sense, I kind of, it was not the most not the most fun years to be a fan, obviously. But the one other thing I wanted to ask you about, obviously, the Aaron Rodgers thing that's going on now, everyone's kind of having an opinion on it. I don't see him getting traded. I just think, I don't know how you trade somebody like that. I can't envision that happening. I think you'd have to be blown away, which, of course, there's a million teams that should trade for him. Mm-hmm. Like if I was the Giants, I would have literally offered 45 first-round picks, because – all of a sudden, the Giants are probably a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers. With Daniel Jones, they're probably not good. So Do you think he and stays in Green Bay? Do you think he gets moved? I don't see him holding out, but I guess we'll see. How do you kind of think all this plays out? It's pretty kind of changes the rest of the NFL if Aaron Rodgers is on a different team.
I've flipped and flopped on this like so many times. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that, again, he is who he is. He's not going to, you know, put on this front of I'm Aaron Rodgers, the football player, and I'm Aaron Rodgers, the person. It's the same thing. So when he says he's unhappy with something, he's likely unhappy with something. So I don't know. I feel like he has a right to be. I mean, he's up there with Brady, whereas, like, I mean, Brady was down in Tampa Bay saying, sign Gronk, do this, do that. And the Bucks were like, okay, like, write us a list. We'll do whatever is on it. And I mean, Rodgers has the right to say, I want a wide receiver. I want some more protection up front. I want more weapons. I feel like we should be able to be a Super Bowl contender. We should be able to win a Super Bowl if you get me these things. And he's right. I totally think he's right. I feel like it sucks for him because I don't feel like him and McCarthy vibed at all towards the end. I feel like there was some tension between him and Matt LaFleur early on. I feel like they kind of got over that. Obviously we don't know what happens behind closed doors, but I feel like he just needs to sit down with everybody and say what he wants. And I feel like eventually they'll come to some sort of agreement. You don't want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, because what are the Packers without Aaron Rodgers? They're nothing. They are absolutely nothing. Like, do you really want to trade Aaron Rodgers and then see Justin Fields, this rookie, come in and win your division next year? Because that's what's probably going to happen if you know, I'm totally counting out Kirk Cousins, by the way. But
people will be happy to hear that. I mean, no, the Rodgers thing is crazy just because he's I think he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. I want to say he's the GOAT, but like, I don't even have the patience to deal with the Brady and Peyton people. So I'm just going to leave it at he's one of the best three quarterbacks I've ever watched play football. And he just won MVP. He's one of the better seasons I've ever seen from a quarterback. And the Packers just are not, they have some good pieces, but if you watch the NFC title game, I don't know. I think that Packers team would have and could have beaten Kansas City. I mean, anyone could have beaten Kansas City the way they played in Super Bowl, I guess, but it's tough to watch that and to kick a field goal there. And like, Rodgers is such a competitive dude, and all year it was all focused on the Super Bowl. And then like, to come up short and lose again at Lambeau, it crushes his legacy more than anybody else on that team too. Like, yep. I think people, like, that's what the crazy part is with all these top guys that are competing for that GOAT conversation. Every time you lose a big game, your stock, you're just going to get crushed for the next 6 months. And it's like, they know that. And Rodgers listens to everything. I know that for a fact. Like, so you look at, you know, Brady can probably ignore the stuff and whatever, but I'm sure he hears it. Peyton used to hear it. There's no way these guys didn't. So I'm sure Lamar hears it too. And Sam heard it. Like, you have to put yourself in those shoes. That's the reason that the quarterback position gets all this praise and head coach as well. But if you don't, a lot of these guys, they don't kind of send, they're hearing it. They know that if they lose a game, it's all going to be on them no matter what. And if they win, they're going to hear the positives of, you know, what happens. But the negative hurts a little worse, I think, than some of the positive stuff, especially with guys like Rodgers.
For sure. And like, a lot of guys, like, they'll come out and say it. Like, I don't read, you know, a lot of guys aren't on Twitter, or they'll have an account and they just don't check it. A lot of guys like don't read that stuff, and that's on them. Like, if they can't take the heat, then get out of the kitchen, you know? But like, I mean, I feel like guys like Rodgers and Brady use that to help fuel them almost. Whereas like, maybe guys like, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, he's just the first one that comes to my mind, but like Baker Mayfield reads the negative stuff, and next week in a media presser, you'll hear him say like a quote about it, you know? So, totally didn't mean to throw him under the bus.
No. Baker's a good example. It's actually someone that I was going to ask you, and then we'll have two more things. In terms of Baker and Zach Wilson, have gotten a lot of similar-ish kind of comps from people. It's not about necessarily a play style, but just like the fiery attitude, the like very like decked out and in sweat, like very the swagger. And like, Zach Wilson's got the wristbands and the visor and the whole nine yards, and he's very like, I don't want to say outspoken, but very like, his play is very outspoken. And same with Baker, the way he was, and he always has been, he's never going to shy away from the spotlight, things like that. Do you think that, like, how do you think the best way, is it Wilson just winning games, or is it like you think he should be toning it down, or is it you should let him just be himself, and like if he wins, he wins, and that's going to be an absolute home run for the Jets? Because Baker's gone through ups and downs, right? He was great as a rookie and then was awful the next year and then was good again last year. So I think it's a roller coaster a little bit.
Yeah. I just want everybody to let these quarterbacks be themselves. Like I got so mad at people when people were making fun of Baker because he lost a game. And then he like gets on the mic and is like, says these quotes. I mean, that's just who he is. Like, you can't try to change him for that. I mean, it goes the same way when people say Matt Ryan has no personality. You can't make him have a personality. It doesn't mean he's any less of a football player. A lot of people said Joe Flacco has no personality. He still won the Super Bowl. Who cares if he doesn't have a personality, you know? So it's like, I just like want these people to be, let these players be who they are, because especially nowadays when there's so much more, like we see Juju doing TikTok dances. I've never done a TikTok dance in my freaking life. I don't like it. I don't care about it. But if that's what he wants to do, who cares? He's not hurting anybody. It's not like he's, you know, part of some, I don't know, like, anti whatever group who's doing this. It's not, he's not hurting anybody. You just let him do it. If he wants to do it, who cares? Because guess what? If his football career is over tomorrow, then he has that to fall back on. He's already built another brand for himself. You know, same thing with like Trevor Lawrence signing all these like endorsement deals. Like, he has that to fall back on if he ends up sucking this year. So I think we need to like stop. I feel like Baker Mayfield's doing those commercials. Everybody made fun of him for that. Who cares?
Yeah, it's a lot of money that I would take in my pocket. I'll tell you that.
Do you really think Baker Mayfield is going to sit here and be like, no, I lost a game last week, I'm not doing a commercial now? Like, he's not going to say that. So
you actually take this one down. I'm sorry, I played bad this week. No, I think I listened to the same thing during the draft. He was like, everyone's like, he looks like a child. Like, those are so stupid. Why is he doing something? I don't know, because he wants to secure the bag. And like, if you're going to play in New York, you're going to get put on the face of pretty much everything. And I know it's different with social media and stuff like that now. And even a Mahomes or Watson, you know, could be huge names. Like, we're not going to leave. We'll leave the Sean out of it for now. But like, a Mahomes could be the biggest star in the NFL playing Kansas City. But I mean, if Zach Wilson's good in New York, or I guess Daniel Jones for that matter, Zach Wilson's going to be one of the faces of the league. Like, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm just saying, if he's good, which I think he could be, you're going to be – the Jets have not had a face of like that since, like, obviously Namath, but like, even when Chad Pennington was good, or like, even Mark Sanchez is one of the most famous people in the league when he was playing. He was not like a top 20 quarterback. He was just was on a team that was really good, and he was a handsome dude on a good team. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like,
yeah, anytime he went to a bar, you saw a picture of him at a bar.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some fun stories from from Sanchez. But the one thing I wanted to, I'll finish up more of like a, I guess, fun, you know, kind of, you're very good at like some clapbacks on Twitter and getting, you know, getting people when they're trying to be either somewhat disrespectful to being a woman in football or other things. Where do you kind of come up with some of the content there? Because I thoroughly enjoy watching people just get owned pretty hard when they try to come at you on Twitter.
I don't sit here and like think up excuses. It just, a lot of the times I ignore it. Like, you should see some of the stuff that I get that I ignore. But sometimes, you know, if I have some time that night and I feel like, you know, and I'll just, I mean, I just, it just comes to me and I send it. I don't know.
It's pretty enjoyable if you don't, you know, follow Lindsay. It's one of those things that if you're just like, all of a sudden I scroll down, I'll just see something and you'll be like, wow, you have fun getting blocked. Like, and it's just like, it's so funny because like they wanted a response and now it's like, you're going to get a response. You're just not going to like what it's going to say.
Yeah. And it's like, these people sit here and they're like, I'm a troll account. Like, I'm going to say things that get people pissed off and angry and blah, blah, blah. And then when I say, okay, I'm going to block you or whatever, then you accomplish what you made to accomplish and you're still mad about it. Like, I just don't get the thought process there.
It's entertaining, but yeah, obviously, you know, follow Lindsay on Twitter and Instagram, like I mentioned, her Patreon as well, where you get a lot of, you know, kind of bonus content and things like that. You know, obviously it'll be, hopefully, you know, be an exciting year to, you know, be a Jets fan, obviously, and things like that. And maybe we'll get a Jets Ravens, playoff game. And we'll do a Super Pod before, and kind of, obviously it's unrealistic, but you know, you gotta have some hope.
Exactly.
Now, thank you for coming on, and, you know, obviously a lot, like I said, a lot of exciting stuff. Make sure you're following Lindsay and keeping kind of up with, you know, what's going on with her. And then, you know, we have a couple of, you know, more exciting stuff. We'll have a, you know, schedule release pod coming out this week as well. So stay tuned for that, but everyone take care.